background now. Thank You by Alanis Morissette. And you've been listening to What's the Frequency, Kenneth? I'm Paul Fisher.
This is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
New York isn't like any other place, and WBAI isn't like any other radio station. For more than 60 years, WBAI has been your go-to for independent, non-commercial, free speech programming. Join the WBAI family as a BAI buddy in the name of your favorite show today. It's easy. Just go to give2, that's the number 2, WBAI.org, or text WBAI to 41444, or call 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. When you become a BAI buddy, you show your support for great programs on politics, news, the arts, music, and culture. Supporting WBAI means supporting programming that lets you hear from your elected officials with hosts who hold them accountable. Go to give2, that's the number 2, WBAI.org, or call 516-620-3602 now. Don't wait. You know these times are too important.
Is important to us all, isn't it? Well, in case you didn't know from what they were saying, this is WBAI in New York City. Listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. And yes, this is my first broadcast from our new studio. And so far I'm having issues. Definitely having issues. Like, how am I going to play my music? How can I stay on mic? This mic is actually very inflexible in how it wants me to work. I have a thumb drive in the computer. It's actually sort of hard to figure out which computers are. And this new computer, of course, does not yet have my theme music. So, sort of hard to start that. But I will add to that last promo that, yes, you can go to give to WBAI, but A, it doesn't have to be the number 2. It never did. I'm not sure why they always say that. If you type in, pardon me, heading for where my flash drive goes. Okay. I see. Select. Aha. Okay. Open. There we go. See, because everything in here is so new, it doesn't have any defaults yet. So when you put in the flash drive, it doesn't know to open up to where it is. So it's going to say, Yeah. Become a BAI buddy. Everything she said about that, absolutely, absolutely. $10 a month, $25 a month, whatever. It's sort of like Patreon, except it's just for WBAI. But as far as getting there, let me give you a different address to use. WBAI.org. From there, you'll see a box. It says donate to WBAI. And you can click on that. And you're at the same place. Exactly the same place as if you typed in give to, whether it's a number two or the TO, WBAI.org. I've mentioned this to people. Try it for yourself and say, Freund is nuts. Well, we knew that. Or, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know why they keep saying what they do. Whichever. Oh, God. Okay. So, yeah. I can see we're going to be using a lot of different things. There's no VLC to broadcast your music. Really tempting to use the other room, the older control room, I must say. But when the 2,600 people came in here this evening, they said, it's ridiculous. We're not using all this modern equipment. And so they came into this room, which makes sense. But, of course, nobody has yet had any training on it. So, yeah. So, you know, it didn't have Google Chrome. I don't like Firefox. It doesn't have VLC. It has whatever. Groove Music. Okay. Anybody who's used Windows 10 can tell you, try to avoid using Groove Music. Okay. Let's play our theme music, if I can. Shall we? Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. Tuesday was the 100th birthday of Frederick Pohl. So aside from raising money for the station, we'll be talking about Fred Pohl this morning. Stay tuned. Thank you. good morning again. Yeah, okay, so sorry for, like, the different weird little wolf howls that you were hearing during the intro, but I was adjusting this computer so that it knows our preferred software. That's the problem sometimes when you go diving into things. But, you know, this was supposed to have been ready like almost a year ago. And I'm glad that it is here now, although it's still not quite ready. Among the most important things that we need in this room are chitons. One of the nice things is that now we can look down onto Atlantic Avenue, you know, actually be a part of the world. Not to mention the fact that this room is somewhat soundproofed. But by the same token, we need curtains, because what if you don't want people to see you? Uh-huh. Did you think of that? So I was thinking of being on Facebook Live tonight so people could see me, but there are a few issues hindering that. Number one is that the room we are in over here does not have high-quality internet access. The router is down at, well, we're at one extreme end, the northern end of the building, and about two-thirds of the way down what they used to call a shotgun hallway is where the router is. And it's just not very powerful. So it doesn't reach to over here. Furthermore, he said, looking around, I don't see a plug. I don't see any place I can plug my camera phone into. Oh, wait, is that one? No. Ah, yes. I found one. It's directly behind me. So, yeah, I can plug in and I won't lose power that way. So maybe at some point during this show, I can show you what it looks like. If you watch the Facebook Live event from my program 2 weeks ago, actually, I did about a half-hour tour of the station, including this room. But it'll be nice to show you what it is like when I'm actually broadcasting out of here. And I may still be able to do that this morning, but not right now. This show, this particular program, is way too freeform pulling things together. I got here about half an hour later than I would have preferred. And my technical mentor here, Max Schneed, is busy doing his own work. How dare he on his own hours? You know, so there's only so much that he could show me, and there's only so much that he has been shown. So we will see how it all works out. In the meantime, I hope that you will be forgiving of obvious technical issues. Let's see. Yeah, so no rolling chair. This is like an ordinary chair. Aha! I spy with my little eye. Pardon me while I get off mic. I'm just going to open up some of the other mics that I see around here and then walk over there. Ooh, that's weird. When I opened the other mic, the sound of the mic I am on, the level, at least in the headphones, drops precipitously. Oh, wait, no, those are chairs. No rolling chairs in here. Not only is this room not ready for prime time, I don't think it's ready for 1 a.m. Sheesh. But yeah, that's how you know it's WBAI. which is all the more reason why we need your support. If you have not been following the news, if you are unaware of what's been going on around here, we have been in such dire trouble with our owners, or a faction within our owners that unauthorized turned us off the air for a month, from October 7th till the morning of November 8th. And that's something that will be costing our network $500,000, probably, in a rough estimate. And that was in the beginning of our fundraising drive, which normally would have ended Halloween. But thanks to the bizarreness of everything that has been going on, we not only lost all of that money, but now we have to make up for it. And that is why we are pitching so, so heavily. Our program director, Linda Perry, sent out a memo a couple of days ago and says, please beg pardon for all the preemptions that we are doing. But the fact of the matter is that right now we're that much in need of money. So while in theory programs do not go on the air or are not taken off the air based on the money that they raise during a fundraising drive, that's not necessarily the case. So indeed, indeed, that's all the case. So if you want to hear me next week, and there's been a preliminary schedule put out, and they did not schedule me for next week. In fact, the next 2 weeks, I have guests set up, and I'm hoping, in fact, trusting that our management will do the right thing and allow me to be on. But I'll tell you, if I ended up raising not a single penny between 1 and 3 a.m. in this room, and it's now 1:15, I wouldn't blame them for saying, no, 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 we're going to put on one of those, what is it Linda called in her memo? It was clever. It was smart. It was like, you know, QVC, that was the term she used, like a QVC network show. And we, you know, the problem is that they raise some money and the overnight shows don't. On the other hand, my question is, and here's the balance point, are you going to raise enough money, even with those taped programs, than a live program will? If nothing else, you hope to maintain a certain amount of contact with your audience rather than have recorded programming that's saying, hey, donate now and you'll get this spiffy DVD. They wouldn't say spiffy, they'd probably say nifty. But be that as it may, here we are. Okay, so I could play a little more music and try to acclimate to this room just a wee bit more, and maybe even figure out if it's possible, even possible, to get Facebook Live running. Because if there's no internet, no Wi-Fi down where I am, it would not be a good thing. In fact, let me just take a look now, shall we? Okay. Now, okay, it says I am connected to the router. Indeed. The next question is the router itself connected to the internet? So, you know what? Why don't I, like, open a browser on this phone and see how fast it is. That's not too bad. It's not too bad. Maybe I will give it a try. But you know what? I will play something first. Yeah, why don't we play the trailer to the movie Hour of the Wolf? Ah, but first. I always have a but first. But first, I wish to tell you about next Tuesday. What's so special next Tuesday, you ask? Well, it's the December edition of the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings, and it is a doozy. We are having a celebration. Yeah, so what is your high, Max?
I got 3 bars.
You've got 3 bars? What are you ordering?
Come around over here.
Yeah, no, it now shows, I opened a browser and it was fast.
All right, it dropped 1 bar when I came over here.
Yeah, so...
It's good, right up until here.
Yeah, right up until the point...
Imagine no line.
Yes, right. The moment you get to the broadcast line.
I got 3 bars again.
Yeah, we need to get a better router or a booster for this room. We can't broadcast out of this room if we don't have strong internet.
Yeah.
And we also need to have electricity around here. Yeah, there's one plug over there.
Yeah, isn't there a power strip under your feet?
Is there a power strip under
my feet? I would assume there might be one somewhere.
I would assume there should be one.
Then again, they got everything plugged in over here. I mean, look at all this.
Yeah.
Look at all this stuff.
Yeah, well, I'd show people if I could get my Facebook Live working. Oh, by the way, this is not an omni or cardioid microphone. This is a directional microphone.
Hmm.
It means that if I'm here right next to the mic and talking to you,
yeah.
I'm off mic right now.
Okay.
And I am 3 inches from the mic.
Well, you're also talking like just opposite.
But if it were a cardioid microphone, it would include my talking opposite direction.
Yeah.
Or an omnidirectional mic. That would do it as well. The name says it all. Yeah. Omnidirectional.
Now, what you said about turning on the other mic is interesting because Emmanuel was noticing, you know, that he thought he sounded funny when the other mics were on.
Yeah.
Going in and out.
Yes. And this is the reason. It's a highly directional microphone.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't sound like this. Here, put on. Why don't you put on those headphones? And for that matter, why don't I figure out what mic you're on?
Well, let's try number 4.
That's 1, 2, 3. Yes, that should be number 4. Okay.
Number 4.
Okay.
Number 4.
So far.
Number 4.
Ah, there we go.
I don't hear. Oh.
Yeah.
That's because the headphones are wrong.
Oh, no. That's the cue button.
Turn me on, Deadman.
Oh, Jesus.
Turn me on, Deadman. Oh, what was that?
That was my headphones blasting.
Ah, yes. The knobs are very, you know, they don't take effect until you know, and then suddenly they jump in.
Yeah. Well, what happens is.
Whoa.
I'm not on mic, am I?
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay.
That's why you sounded off mic. You turned your mic off.
No. I turned it down 2 dB.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm talking. This isn't too bad,
man.
Talking past the mic, looking at you.
Right.
But now I will turn my head 45 degrees into the microphone, and you hear the difference.
It didn't sound that much. Let me try turning mine. Okay, whoa, isn't this exciting radio?
You sound fine at the moment.
Well, because I'm talking directly into the mic, now I'm talking off
the side.
Okay, all right, now we swing it over here. Oh, well.
Yeah, you see. If you're not talking directly into the mic, if you're not basically, if you'll pardon the expression, filleting the microphone, you're not on mic.
And you can also strain your spaghetti here in this thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could do, you know, BAI in older days used to do nothing but broadcast thing that and call it music.
The free music store.
No. The free music store was worse than that. No, this was like Sunday nights, midnight to 5 a.m. before Lenny Lopate got that slot.
Mm.
We had a show called All Night Sunday with the radio on. John Cage. The John Cage was one of the hosts of that show. I was the engineer. And one of the programmers of that slot was not Linda Barr, but Linda Perry.
Ah, okay.
And she and I worked together on that program. That's where Lenny Lopate, after he was thrown off the air doing the world's best gospel show.
Yeah. Oh, I used to love that show.
Yeah, that was a great, great. He and Max Salazar. Max Salazar is an expert in old salsa music, and Lopate on gospel music. But
an atheist Jew.
There, yes,
like
but
Jesus Christ.
But there were people who objected to a white atheist Jew doing a gospel show. So we ended up with no gospel program. And Linda Perry and I...
And the alternative is to have right-wing Christians doing gospel music.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But this was about, 1981.
Okay.
Thereabouts. And so... and that show was called All Night Sunday with the Radio On, and I was one of the programmers of it. And I worked with Linda. She was more like a trainer for Lopate, teaching him how to do freeform radio, which is, I suspect, one of the reasons why it was possible for him
to come here.
And I must say, whatever people think about him, he's been doing some damn good programming. He's had fabulous guests.
He always did. Why would he stop just from coming here?
I don't know. NYC would have spoiled him or something like that. No, he's doing a good show.
Yeah, he brought all his producers with him, too, which doesn't hurt.
Which producers are those?
I don't know. He's got a bunch of women who produce segments for his show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But are they producing for the greater WBAI?
No, there is.
Okay, so so it's departmentalized.
Yeah.
So
I just heard from a guy who wants to put on a concert from WBAI. Who do I send him to?
Me? I don't know. You see, I've actually thought of the idea
of
reviving the free music store.
Someone who's lined up a bunch of artists who are all interested in performing. Some of them major names. Maybe all of them major names, but a few that I recognized and a few that I didn't.
Well, forward it to me and I'll bring it up to Linda
apparently
I'm the owner of the building.
It's in Messenger.
It's very difficult to forward something from Messenger. Messenger also doesn't play well with others. If you could cut and paste it put it into email.
For all I know, he's listening now. Maybe he'll send you the same thing.
Okay, J. Freund at ourwolf.com, J-F-R-E-U-N-D at H-O-U-R-W-O-L-F.com would be... anything but C-A-L-M. So yeah, the mic isn't that bad, but it isn't, it isn't a cardioid mic, which means that it covers in a heart shape.
Right.
So that if I turn my head on a cardioid mic, you'd never hear the difference. It would be the same.
Well, I just realized these headphones are all the way up, and they're not that loud. Mm. Interesting.
Are they louder now?
I don't know.
Okay, because I just turned up the master... headphone thing.
I think that's only yours.
Okay, that's good. But yeah, I mean, it's not good. This room.
No VLC, huh? I guess I have to work.
No. I got VLC.
Oh, okay.
It was on here. It's just that it wasn't the default. The default was Groove, which is the Windows 10.
Yeah.
Like Edge was. Now Edge still exists, but Edge was Microsoft's way to beat Google Chrome. And what they did after 2 years of Edge, 3 years of Edge, was they got rid of the programming underneath Edge and they put in Google Chrome. It's now running Chromium, which is actually the root.
Okay.
And so, might as well use Chrome. Getting rid of Cortana.
Now that I have a Chromebook, I use Chrome a lot more because it all ties together.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that you have these different ecosystems, right? You're either an Apple person, in which case you have to use Siri. You're an Amazon person, so Alexa is going into your... Actually, I was going to say this rhetorically, but it's true. There are eyeglasses that use Alexa. There really are.
Is that the one they keep wanting me to install on this thing?
Alexa? No, probably Google Assistant. Oh, no, that's an Amazon toy.
Amazon.
Oh, yeah, of course they want you to use that.
Yeah.
Alexa, Amazon's...
Turn on WBAI, Alexa.
Well, if you have it set up, it will.
Yes.
You need an app to do that. I recommend TuneIn.
Right.
We'll do that job. Except that you have to have TuneIn Pro to not have ads. And it's $1.99. And I've paid. It's not a book. I'm not selling it. Yeah. That's information.
Yeah.
If you're writing a review of something, you must give the price. I am reviewing a product. And so, yeah, I know the laws. I know where they begin.
And know you.
I mean, if I had a guest who had a new book out and they say, and my book is only $5.99 at bigriver.com, that would be wrong. But if you say it's available for a reasonable fee at bigriver.com, and even then it's better to say at better bookstores online.
Right.
You don't want to push one vendor. That's equally important. But if you're talking about an app.
So, Jim, let me ask you this.
That's available for free, yes.
Are you staying in here for the duration of the program?
That's a very good question.
Because
I'm beginning to think I should not.
All right. Well,
I haven't
shown you how to switch rooms, have I?
No, I was about to ask you that. And the reason is, you know, I could muddle through.
Right.
But I don't know.
Well, we haven't actually launched this room yet. There's going to be in a big official launch party at some point.
Oh, so this is a demo. I can live with that.
This is not a dry run. What do you call it? It's a shakedown cruise.
Okay.
I mean, the hackers wanted to do it, I just decided.
It's a tech rehearsal.
Yeah, I just wanted to see, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Clock.
Okay, yes.
that was a big plus.
Yeah. Well, may I make a few suggestions?
Yes.
Number one, an outlet, electricity, because people are going to come in with their laptops.
Right.
They're going to, A, want to power their laptop, B, have very good internet access to that laptop,
right.
And C, be able to easily plug in that laptop. And mind you, you can't put it over here.
You should say everyone's coming in with these tiny little, you know, like tablet books these days.
I've seen three or four people
with them lately.
Yeah, but that's not what I have. That's
right.
You know, people have.
I foolishly bought my Chromebook, which was much too big.
What size?
You're like 24.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's a beast.
13 will suffice most people.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
And if you need larger than that when you're working at home, you just plug it into a monitor.
Right. Well.
And then you can have a 40-inch.
I wish I had thought of it, but, you know.
You didn't ask me, Max.
I had 12 hours to, you know, get it and pack and go away. So.
Yeah, but, you know, under those circumstances, call me. I was going to give you, and I still can. We do have a laptop, but Barbara has to work on it for about, you know, 3 hours in order to make it ready for you. But we do have a laptop.
Now, if
you don't want it anymore,
you know,
it runs Windows 7.
I miss some of the, you know, actual Windows aspects of the.
I mean, the reason I don't have a Chromebook, because I love Chrome.
Yeah.
But the reason I don't have a Chromebook is because I need, and I'll bet this is an
Lord knows it ain't the cause.
I need to use certain software for audio editing.
Right.
And there really aren't very good apps on Chrome for doing that.
Right.
So for that reason.
Well, I didn't get it for that, so. You know.
No, yeah, I understand. Yours was more portable.
What I need more than anything is a new desktop. Boy, is mine just.
Yours is about the same age as mine. Mine is working.
I'm wondering if I just reinstall Windows on it. If that would solve all the problems.
It could, but then it's a question of, you know, my question is maybe before you do that, maybe you should try optimizing your, not control panel, the there's a place, I used to, when I did tech support, you know, this is all I talked about. You can optimize. I'll email it to you
Say
it later on the.
But you know,
you can optimize basically what programs talk to what programs, what make icons look like what, and once you do that, that could as much as double the speed of your machine. You also have to make sure that you've got at least 20% of your boot up drive. Available.
I believe, yeah, that is not a problem. Every other drive is full, but the C drive.
You got a RAID array. How is that working out for you?
You know, I really need to spend more time with it because I set it up to back up certain drives that are attached to the computer, but I can't figure out how to back up, you know, additional drives that were not part of the original configuration.
And let me show you what this phone just came up with.
Okay, let me look at my little device.
Yeah.
One thing this room does have.
And what it's saying for listeners who aren't watching on their non-existent Facebook Lives is it says WBAI 388, which is the router here, has no internet access.
Well, mine went down to one and then
you see,
to two.
So it's waffling back and forth, which means...
One thing this room does have, though, massive coffee stains on the new paint job.
Right. Oh.
Somebody spilled a cup of coffee on the new wall.
Well, thank God it was coffee.
Well, I don't know. Looks like coffee.
Yeah. Now, you see, you should, when you leave here, at some point, maybe on your way home in the subway, listen to this portion of the show from the archive and see how often you are going off mic.
I just want to go back and hear what, you know, the transitions when we switched back and forth.
Do you want to try that now?
Well,
I can put on...
I was going to go in the archives and listen, but the archives have been down for about 5 days.
Have they?
Yes, which I told Berthold about. He apparently, despite my reporting it every day for a week, he was unaware of it. I guess he doesn't read email.
I was aware of that fact.
Yeah.
You'd be better off, I think, contacting Otis McClay.
No, he's got nothing to do with it.
Oh, no?
The firewall between us and the web administrator is down the hall. All right,
Okay, so
too
show
much
me.
Talking out of school here.
Yes, so show me how to switch to the
right.
other room.
Do you see a little your DEFCON 3 button with a cover on it so you can't hit it accidentally?
Would you like to play a game of thermonuclear war?
There's a companion one in the other room, so you can switch from either room.
This one has EAS, Emergency Alert System.
That's a different button. And above that is your dump button.
Yes, my delay dump. We're not allowed to say dump. It's stop. Remember? Mimi Rosenberg got into trouble for using the word dump.
Okay. But above that is
like dump Trump. She would have to say stop Trump. Two different things.
So interestingly...
Oh, studio switch.
The light in here is green, yes?
It's
green. Okay, in the other room it lights up red. So...
So...
And apparently, just hit that button from either room, and it will turn on the studio where you're hitting the button.
And if I don't have anything running in that other room, it's going to be dead air.
Basically, yeah.
So, perhaps you could go into that other room, go into the Hour of the Wolf, I think it's overnight 5 a.m. folder, Hour of the Wolf folder,
yes.
And choose any piece of music. Or I can give you a thumb drive with music
on it. You
don't
want the theme?
Huh?
How about the theme?
I've played it already. How about here?
Okay.
Here.
It'd be easier to take it out of your folder.
I have a huge folder in here.
I know, but it's easier to get it off the computer.
Oh, fine. Do it that way. So, listeners, I will be with you shortly from another room. And then we're going to properly... 40 minutes into when the show started, we're going to properly... So these are growing pains, people. I hope that you're enjoying them. And if I can, at that point, we might even go to Facebook Live. Although, no, I don't think it's going to be possible. Because for me to be able to do that, I'm going to have to log out of this various things in various places. And it's just not that simple, you know? And so, I would have liked to have done it. But half of the point would have been also to show you this new room. Well, there will be a new room ere long. And once that happens, then I promise you, we will do a Facebook Live, okay? Oh, I'm trying to uninstall something. I put in way too much, whoops. Okay, that's closed. That's closed. I put in way too much information when I installed Chrome. I installed it with all of me on it, as opposed to something that anybody can use. So all my passwords, it's got way too much information. So when I go into Control Panel and click Uninstall, it says, please close all Chrome windows and try again. But I don't have any such windows open. I know what to do. Control-Alt-Delete. Okay, Task Manager. There we go. I really dislike Windows 10. It's at home, I'm still using Windows 7. Task Manager doesn't show any Chrome windows. Just Firefox and Station Playlist. Ooh. So, let's go for more details, shall we? Ah, background processes. That's always a possibility. Ah, there we go. There we go. All of these things. Okay. We have to. Isn't there, like, instead of end task, there should be end all tasks from this one resource. You know what? I'd be better off rebooting this machine.
Oh. Well, we have music playing.
Oh, okay.
Which will be followed by 3 minutes of wolves howling, because your folder doesn't have a whole lot of music in it.
You're right. That's why I keep it on the thumb drive. Okay, so let's switch over. I can do this when my show is over and listeners happily on in that room. So
we'll see if it works.
Okay, so we're about to hit studio switch and see what happens. Studio switch and see what happens.
Oh, are we not hearing air?
I'm hearing delay. Studio switch and see what happens.
Oh, are we not hearing air?
I'm hearing delay. Studio switch. See what happens.
Or are we not hearing air?
I'm hearing delay. Well, let me turn my mic on again.
Did it not switch?
I think it did not switch. I'm hearing delay.
Switch it in there.
Let me try pressing this again with more
vigor.
I think it did vigor. Not switch.
I'm hearing delay.
Okay, that was pretty vigorous.
Let me try pressing this again
with more
vigor.
I think it did
vigor.
Not switch. Nope, it's still not switching. It's permanent. Nope, it's still not switching. No going back. Take us back.
It's permanent.
Really?
Nope, it's still not switching.
Take us back to 60s.
Children of the night, what music they make.
Okay, here we are in the old control room. And why? Yeah, it barely sounds like my mic is on. And let's lower the wolves. Lower the wolves. Okay. You know what? I am going to play the trailer for the movie Hour of the Wolf. And then some of the music from Silent Running. And I'll be back in approximately, 5 or 6 minutes. Stay with us. And, of course, I couldn't even do that much. I'm in the old room where I should know how to run it, and I play the wrong thing. Here we go.
The hour of the wolf is the hour between night and dawn. It is the hour when most people die, when sleep is deepest, when nightmares are most real. It is the hour when the sleepless are haunted by their deepest fear, when ghosts and demons are most powerful. The hour of the wolf is also the hour when most children are born.
Yeah, if it sounds like the theme, it's the beginning of the theme, but it does continue. Thank you. Okay, well, I actually got all of that working. I want to play just a little bit of different music because I think I've got this thing up and running. Usually takes a while to get there, but there is a favorite song I have. Come take a trip. Here you are. What? Well, that's certainly not the version I was looking for. But I'm going to have to look at that later. Chevy Chase? Really? I want the Natalie Merchant version. Here it is. So, okay, now I can tell you it's going to be 4 minutes and 5 seconds.
Not a sailor who sailed on the wide blue sea. He sailed in an airship, sailed like a bird on the wing. And every evening at midnight, he would come to my window and sing. Come take a trip in my. Sail away to the stars. We'll travel to Venus. We'll sail away to Mars. No one will see while we're kissing. No one will know as we swoon. So come take a trip in my airship. And we'll visit the man. Babies, this too.
Going is to listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio in New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and over, presumably, WBAI.org, and all kinds of stuff like that there. Okay, so we've wasted almost an hour. Let me waste another 4 or 5 minutes. I started doing this earlier and then didn't get around to it, which is a promo. Why did I leave that running? A promo for next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, right here at 388 Atlantic Avenue on the ground floor, the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings. We always try to do something particularly special for our December reading. For the most part, it has been Delia Sherman and Ellen Kushner reading together, because that way, you know, they're family, they're married, so it's nice to have couples doing things. And we've done that, but we have a party kind of thing tied into music that Randy Dawn has put together for us. Randy has edited an anthology coming out in but a few weeks entitled Across the Universe. Now, if that brings any particular band or something to mind, well, it ought to. Basically, it's an anthology of absolutely nothing but stories, science fiction and fantasy stories based on the Beatles. So, we're going to have a bunch of fine readers, including Keith DeCandido. I'll get the list for you before the show is over. But right now, running between one room and the next for broadcasting and trying to figure out, we're so anxious to try to use this new room that, well, it can get a little hopeful, a little more hopeful than we actually will be, than the quality of the room is actually ready for us. So again, I'm focusing on too many computers and things at once. No, I will not do a Facebook Live, because then I have to log into one place and another and tie up my phone and stuff like that. And there's really no reason, because I don't have a guest. We're not in the new room. So we'll live with it at any rate. Tuesday, December 3rd, unless I'm vastly mistaken. Let us take a look. Right, December 3rd at 7 o'clock. Try to get here about 6:30. Admission is free. Donations accepted for 7 or 8 readers, all reading science fiction and fantasy stories that take from the Beatles. And also at some point, I've got to have Jim Ryan back on the show. James Ryan has written an entire collection of stories called Alt Together Now. And he read one of those stories on the air years ago, and I got a huge kick out of it. So come by, say hello. Next Tuesday, 388 Atlantic Avenue, which is Atlantic between Hoyt and Bond. And I will be posting more information about this on a web page and on Facebook on Friday. So keep your eyes open. Frederick Pohl, let's get down to, well, we have two businesses. One is, again, we need you to become a member of WBAI. We need you to support this crazy place, because that is, well, if we had had better funding, if we had not been interrupted, if these different things had been going on, our air wouldn't sound quite as bizarre today as it really does. So what we are doing is we're trying to encourage you to become a regular subscriber, not just, you know, the 25 a year or something, but rather to become a BAI buddy. And that means that you'll give a certain amount of money every month, because that way we can count on it in our budget. And right now that is critical. So in order to become a BAI buddy, visit WBAI.org. Alternatively, you can go to give to WBAI.org, but just going to BAI.org will then, you know, means that, well, you have to do an extra click. I'm just noticing. That's right. As opposed to typing all those extra characters. And remembering WBAI.org is a lot easier. So please consider becoming a BAI buddy, or even just making a straight donation. If you're the kind of person who would rather do this over the phone, well, we can accommodate that. Call area code 516-620-3602. Again, 516-620-3602. Okay, it is now 2 a.m. in New York. We've blown an hour. So let's do Hour of the Wolf, shall we? So we'll say it's WBAI New York. Frederick Pohl is one of the nicest people I have known. Very friendly, very giving, while being one of the grand masters in science fiction. Born November 26th, 1919. Today is, technically, since we're Thursday, the 28th, so technically 2 days ago was his 100th birthday. And, okay, what did I do? Let's see. Oh, Lister, still waiting on subway. I can hear you. Turn up volume on theme song in new studio. Well, yeah. We know about that, Lister. You're going to be using the old studio. We're not going to throw that curveball at you. So you can hear me fine. You'll be in the old studio probably next week. You'll be in the new studio. So Fred Pohl, when I knew him, for the most part, he had been at Galaxy Magazine as the editor. But at the point that I knew him, he was an editor at Bantam Books, the editor of science fiction for Bantam Books, and was buying such works as Dahlgren by Samuel R. Delaney, and major works as a writer. I'm sure Max has a whole lot of his work from that were adapted as radio dramas. And he also published The Female Man by Joanna Russ. He edited any number of critical, important science fiction anthologies. He wrote the Heechee series, starting with the book Gateway. And he let us produce a radio drama of his story, The Gold at the Starbow's End, which had almost absolutely everybody working at the station at the time in it. I do not have a copy. If anybody out there listening has a copy of that radio drama, please get in touch with me. Jfreund, J-F-R-E-U-N-D, or if you prefer, just Jim, J-I-M, Jim, at OurWolf.com. OurWolf has an Hour of the Wolf, H-O-U-R-W-O-L-F. He was, and this is something I know Max knows about with Fred Pohl, he was a regular guest on Long John Neville's radio show. Therefore, when I did my very first live radio show, filling in one day for Paul Gorman on Lunch Pail, my guest was Isaac Asimov. And Fred said, "You don't want to handle this alone." Isaac is a handful. Oh, my. Yes, that's absolutely correct. Isaac was a handful. So having Lester Del Rey and Fred Pohl, who together were regulars on Long John Neville's show, well, they made me look good. They did a lot of the talking and made it appear, against all reasonable logic, made it appear that he was, that I was the host. But in fact, they were manipulating Ike all the way. I will always be grateful for that. But another thing that I will always be grateful for is Fred's fiction. And I've brought two of his better-known short stories, and I will read one of them. Which one, I'm not really sure. One is Day Million, which has, a good deal to do with, let's say, today's sexual politics. Now, given that I say today's sexual politics, let me Google this up and see what year the story was written. Takes place in 2737. That makes sense. 1970. This story is published in 1970. The other story that I have was published in Dangerous Visions, and therefore makes it from 1967. And that one has more to do with racial overtones. The day after the day the Martians came. And both stories, were they published today, might be controversial or perhaps illuminating. And they're both the same length. They're both fine stories. So you know what? I'm going to ask you, the listeners, which would you rather hear? The day after the day the Martians came, about racial issues, or Day Million, about gender issues? And you can call me on the air at 212-209-2877. Yeah, I'm going to limit your call to about 10 seconds because that's all I want to hear is your preference for the story. And that's how it's going to be. Otherwise, I'm going to flip a coin or ask Max. One of the two. 212-209-2877. Tell me the day after the day the Martians came or Day Million. There will be day in the title, whichever direction we go. There's a call. I suspect there are a lot of phantom calls I'm not seeing, or real calls that aren't phantom calls. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
The day after the day the Martians came.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that's one vote. Is there a second? Otherwise, that's the one we're going to do, the one from Dangerous Visions. I'm going to play a cut of music beforehand so I can clear my throat, prepare. When Simon Locley went on the air, well, I was on the air before him, he would be walking up and down the corridors preparing his voice, preparing his readings. He was a master at doing all that stuff. I'm much more off the cuff. Okay, nobody else? Fine. So, caller number Bob is going to get his choice of the song. Of the story. See, I'm looking up a song to play. Multitasking is just not something that I'm very good at anymore. Let me see if I have... No, I don't have a song there. Max was right. So... I know. An oldie and goodie. Oh, it's somebody else calling up. Well, I'm trying to figure it out. Let's hear what they have to say. Hi, you're on the air. Yellow.
Day Million, please.
Day Million. Okay. We have a tie. Do you have a reason, a preference, a reason why you'd rather hear Day Million?
Gender issues interest me.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we have a tie. Well, I can. If you want to try to break the tie, 212-209-2877, though it took quite a while for the second person to call. So the first one still has the edge. But I am willing to take, let one person try to break the tie. Nah. No, it's going to be the first. The day after the day the Martians came, and before that, here is a song by Steel Eye Span performing a portion of a story, a novel really, by Terry Pratchett. Seems like I don't even remember how to use the old studio. A longer song than I had originally intended. I should have played the Dark Morris song. But one way or the other, you get the idea. We're dealing with wintry songs, since it is now technically, in New York, Thanksgiving. This story was published in 1967. As I was saying, Frederick Pohl, the author, is one of the grandmasters of science fiction. He had been writing since the 40s, if not earlier, and was certainly involved in science fiction fandom well before that, from the 30s. And so the idea behind Dangerous Visions, this anthology that Harlan Ellison put out, was not just to create a venue for new voices, people that were saying things that were edgy and writing what was then called the new wave of science fiction, but he was also trying to get some of the, well, like Fred Pohl, the grandmasters involved, to write new materials that were different than the kind of stuff they had been known for. In other words, okay, we've got all these new young voices here, and radical voices, politically radical and radical in the way they were writing science fiction. How can somebody like Frederick Pohl match up? And with that came the story, The Day After the Day the Martians Came. It has been dramatized at least once, I think possibly twice. It has been turned into a comic book, no less. Marvel Comics actually did a version of it. And it's a very striking story, even today in 2019, given for a story that was written in 1967. But let me tell you something. In 1967, there were phraseologies and thoughts and certain things that would not necessarily have given anybody pause. And today, some of the language that is used, some of the concepts that are in here, are intentionally culturally out of date. It's not like you're going to Disney Plus and looking for Song of the South, or actually a movie like Dumbo, which they actually do have, and they say there are cultural things in here that may be troublesome to people. Fred Pohl, when he wrote this story, knew that this would be troublesome. And it's even more troublesome today, because in some ways we've moved beyond it, and yet in other ways we have not. Which shows you just how timeless a person who helped create a group called the Futurians, how timeless his writing is. Therefore, there is no frank language in this story. There are none of the curse words that one would associate. There are, however, words that are not safe words, words that will touch touch a nerve in people, phrases and ideas. So, if this is something that will trouble you, I ask you either A, to listen through to the end of the story and see how you feel about it at that time, and then we can discuss it together on the air, or B, tune out and rejoin us in 45 minutes when Burn Baby Burn Clappers will be here. But for now, you've had your disclaimer, and now you're going to have the story. The Day After the Day the Martians Came. And another disclaimer. I am reading the story cold and live. There has been no rehearsal. Pardon all the stumbling. There were two cots in every room of the motel, besides the usual number of beds, and Mr. Mandela, the manager, had converted the rear section of the lobby into a men's dormitory. Nevertheless, he was not satisfied, and was trying to persuade his colored bellman to clean out the trunk room and put cots in that, too. "Now, please, Mr. Mandela," the bell captain said, speaking loudly over the noise in the lounge, "you know we'd do it for you if we could, but it cannot be because, first, we don't have any other place to put those old TV sets you want to save, and second, because we don't have any more cots." "You're arguing with me, Ernest. I told you to quit arguing with me," said Mr. Mandela. He drummed his fingers on the registration desk and looked angrily around the lobby. There were at least 40 people in it, talking, playing cards, and dozing. The television set was mumbling away in a recap of the NASA releases, and on the screen Mr. Mandela could see a picture of one of the Martians gazing into the camera and weeping large, gelatinous tears. "Quit that!" ordered Mr. Mandela, tuning in time to catch his bellman looking at the screen. I don't pay you to watch TV. Go and see if you can help in the kitchen. We've been in the kitchen, Mr. Mandela. They don't need us. Go when I tell you to go, Ernest. You too, Bursey. He watched them go through the service hall and wished he could get rid of some of the crowd in the lounge just as easily. They filled every seat in the overflow, sat in the arms of the chairs, leaned against the walls, and filled the booths in the bar, which had been closed for the last 2 hours because of the law. According to the registration slips, they were nearly all from newspapers, wire services, radio and television networks, and so forth, waiting to go to the morning briefing at Cape Kennedy. Mr. Mandela wished that morning would come. He didn't like so many of them cluttering up his lounge, especially since he was pretty sure a lot of them were not even registered guests. On the TV screen, a hastily edited tape was now showing the return of the Algonquin 9 space probe to Mars, but no one was watching it. It was the third time that particular tape had been repeated since midnight, and everybody had seen it at least once. But when it changed to another shot of one of the Martians looking like a sad dachshund with elongated steel flippers for limbs, one of the poker players stirred and cried, I got a Martian joke! Why doesn't a Martian swim in the Atlantic Ocean? It's your bet, said the dealer. Because he'd leave a ring around it, said the reporter, folding his cards. No one laughed. Not even Mr. Mandela, though some of the jokes had been pretty good. Everybody was beginning to get tired of them, or perhaps just tired. Mr. Mandela had missed the first excitement about the Martians because he had been asleep. When the day manager phoned him, waking him up, Mr. Mandela had thought first that it was a joke, and second that the day man was out of his mind. After all, who would care if the Mars probe had come back with some kind of animals, or even if they weren't animals exactly? When he found out how many reservations were coming in over the teletype, he realized that some people did, in fact, care. However, Mr. Mandela didn't take much interest in things like that. It was nice the Martians had come, and since they filled his motel and every other motel within 100 miles of Cape Kennedy, but when you had said that, you said everything about the Martians that mattered to Mr. Mandela. On the television screen, the picture went to black and was replaced by the legend bulletin from NBC News. The poker game paused momentarily. The lounge was almost as quiet as an invisible announcer read a new release from NASA. Dr. Hugo Bosch, the Fort Worth, Texas veterinarian, who arrived late this evening to examine the Martians at the Patrick Air Force Base Reception Center, has issued a preliminary report which has just been released by Colonel Eric T. Happy Wingerder, speaking for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. A wire service man yelled, "Turn it up!" There was a convulsive moment around the set. The sound vanished entirely for a moment, then blasted out, "Martians are vertebrate, warm-blooded, and apparently mammalian. A superficial examination indicates a generally low level of metabolism, although Dr. Bosch states it is possible that this is in some measure the result of their difficult and confined voyage through 137 million miles of space in the specimen's chamber of the Algonquin 9 spacecraft. There is no, repeat, no evidence of communicable disease, although standing sterilization precautions are..." "Hell, he says," cried somebody, probably a stringer from CBS. "Walter Cronkite, in an interview with the Mayo Clinic that..." "Shut up!" bellowed a dozen voices, and the TV became audible again. "Completes the full text of the report from Dr. Hugo Bosch, as released at this hour by Colonel Happy Wingerder." There was a pause. Then the announcer's voice, weary but game, found its place and went on with a recap of the previous half-dozen stories. The poker game began again as the announcer was describing the news conference with Dr. Sam Sullivan of the Linguistic Institute of the University of Indiana and his conclusions that the sounds made by the Martians were indeed some sort of a language. "What nonsense," thought Mr. Mandela, drugged and drowsy. He pulled a stool over and sat down, half asleep. Then the noise of laughter woke him, and he straightened up belligerently. He tapped his call bell for attention. "Gentlemen,"
"Ladies, please," he cried. "It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Our other guests are trying to sleep." "Yeah, sure," said the CBS man, holding up one hand impatiently. "But wait a minute. I got one. What's a Martian high-rise?" "Give up?" "Go ahead," said a red-haired girl, staffer from life. 27 floors of basement apartments." The girl said, "Okay, fine. I got one, too." "What is a Martian female's religious injunction requiring her to keep her eyes closed during intercourse?" "God forbid she should see her husband having a good time." "Are we playing poker or not?" groaned one of the players, but they were too many for him. "Who won the Martian beauty contest?"
"Nobody."
"How do you get a Martian female to give up sex?"
"Marry her."
Mr. Mandela laughed at that one, and when one of the reporters came to him and asked for a book of matches, he gave it to him. "Ta," said the man, puffing his pipe alight. "Long night, huh?"
"You bet,"
said Mr. Mandela genially. On the television screen, the tape was running again for the fourth time. Mr. Mandela yawned, staring vacantly at it. It was not much to see, but really, it was all that anybody had seen or was likely to see of the Martians. All these reporters and cameramen and columnists and soundmen, thought Mr. Mandela with pleasure, all of them waiting here for the 10 a.m. briefing at the Cape would have a 40-mile drive through the Palmetto Swamps for nothing, because what they would see when they got there would be just about what they were seeing now. One of the poker players was telling a long-involved joke about Martians wearing fur coats at Miami Beach. Mr. Mandela looked at them with dislike. If only some of them would go to their rooms and go to sleep, he might try asking the others if they were registered in the motel. Although, actually, he couldn't squeeze anybody else in anyway, with all the rooms doubly occupied already. He gave up the thought and stared vacantly at the Martians on the screen, trying to imagine people all over the world looking at that picture on their television sets, reading about them in their newspapers, caring about them. They did not look worth caring about as they sluggishly crawled about in their long, weak limbs like a stretched seal's flippers, gasping heavily in the drag of the Earth's gravity, their great, long eyes dull. "Stupid-looking little bastards," one of the reporters said to the pipe smoker. "You know what I heard? I heard the reason the astronauts kept them locked in the back was the stench." "They probably didn't notice it on Mars," said the pipe smoker judiciously. "You know, thin air." "Notice it? They love it." He dropped a dollar bill on the desk in front of Mr. Mandela. "Can I have change for the Coke machine?" Mr. Mandela counted out dimes silently. It had not occurred to him that the Martians would smell, but that was only because he hadn't given it much thought. If he had thought about it at all, that was what he would have thought. Mr. Mandela fished out a dime for himself and followed the two men over to the Coke machine. The picture on the TV changed some rather poorly photographed shots brought back by the astronauts of low, irregular, sand-colored buildings on a bright sand floor. These were what NASA was calling the largest Martian city, altogether about 100 of the flat, windowless structures. "I don't know," said the second reporter at last, tilting his Coke bottle. "You think they're what you'd call intelligent?" "Difficult to say exactly," said the pipe smoker. He was from Reuters and looked it, with a red, broad English squire's face. "They do build houses," he pointed out. "Yeah, well, so does a bull gorilla." "No doubt. No doubt." The Reuters man brightened. "Oh, just a minute. That makes me think of one. There was one, let me see, at home. We tell it about the Irish. Yeah, I've got it. The next spaceship goes to Mars, you see? And they find that some dread terrestrial disease has wiped out the whole race, all but one female. These fellows, too. Gone. All gone, except this one she. Well, they're terribly upset, and America votes $200 million for reparations, and, well, the long and short of it is, in order to keep the race from dying out entirely, they decide to breed a human man to this one surviving Martian female." "Gripes." "Yes, exactly. Well, finally, they find Paddy O'Shaughnessy down in his luck, and they say to him, "See here, go into that chat cage there, Paddy, and you'll find this female, and all you've got to do is render her pregnant. Do you see?" And O'Shaughnessy says, "Ah, but what's in it for me?" And they offer him, oh, thousands of pounds, and of course he agrees. But then he opens the door of the cage, and he sees what the female looks like, and he backs out. The Reuters man replaces empty Coke bottle in the rack and grimaces, showing Paddy's expression of revulsions. "Holy saints," he says, "I never counted on anything like this." "Thousands of pounds, Paddy," they say to him, urging him on. "Ah, very well, then," he says, "but on one condition." "And what may that be?" they ask him. "You've got to promise me," he says, "that the children will be raised in the church." "Yeah, I heard that," said the other reporter, and he moved to put his bottle back, and as he did, his foot caught in the rack, and four cases of empty Coke bottles bounced and clattered across the floor. Well, that was about one more than Mr. Mandela could stand, and gasped, stuttered, dinged his bell, and shouted, "Ernest! Bursey on the double!" And when Ernest showed up, poking his dark plum-colored head out of the service door with an expression that revealed an anticipation of disaster, Mr. Mandela shouted, "Ah, oh, curse your thick heads! I told you 100 times, keep those racks cleaned out!" And he stood over the two bellmen, fuming as they bent to the litter of whole bottles and broken glass, their faces glancing up at him sidewise, worried, dark plum and Arabian sand. He knew that all the reporters were looking at him and that they disapproved. And then he went out into the late night to cool off, because he was sorry and knew that he might make himself still sorrier. The grass was wet. Condensing dew was dripping from the fittings of the diving board into the pool. The motel was not as quiet as it should be so close to dawn, but it was quiet enough. There was only an occasional distant laugh in the and the noise from the lounge. To Mr. Mandela, it was reassuring. He replenished his soul by walking all the galleries around the room, checking the ice makers and the cigarette machines, and finding all was well. A military jet from McCoy was screaming overhead. Beyond it, the stars were still bright, in spite of the beginnings of dawn in the east. Mr. Mandela yawned. He glanced mildly up and wondered which of them was Mars and returned to his desk. Shortly, he was too busy with a long, exhausting round of room calls and checkouts to think about Martians. Then, when most of the guests were getting noisily into their cars and limo buses, and the day men were coming in, Mr. Mandela uncapped two cold Cokes and carried one back through the service door to Ernest. "Rough night," he said, and Ernest, accepting both the Coke and the intention, nodded and drank it down. They leaned against the wall that screened the pool from the access road and watched the newsmen and newsgirls taking off down the road toward the highway and the 10 o'clock briefing. Most of them had had no sleep. Mr. Mandela shook his head, disapproving so much commotion for so little cause. And Ernest snapped his fingers, grinned, and said, "I got a Martian joke, Mr. Mandela. What do you call a 7-foot Martian when he's coming at you with a spear?" "Oh, hell, Ernest," said Mr. Mandela. "You call him Sir. Everybody knows that one." He yawned and stretched and said reflectively, "You think by now there would be some new jokes. All that I have been hearing are the old ones. Only instead of picking on the Jews and the Catholics and everybody, they're telling them instead about the Martians."
"Yeah, I noticed that, Mr. Mandela," said Ernest.
Mr. Mandela stood up. "Better get some sleep," he advised, "because they might be back again tonight. I don't know what for."
"You know what I think, Ernest? Outside of the jokes, I don't think that 6 months from now anybody's going to remember that there ever were such things as Martians. I don't believe their coming here is going to make a nickel's worth of difference to anybody." "Hate to disagree with you, Mr. Mandela," said Ernest mildly. "But I don't think so. Going to make a difference to some people. Going to make a damn big difference to me." The Day After the Day the Martians Came, by Frederick Pohl, here on WBAI New York. I won't tell you who's doing this. You ought to know.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
If you'd like to call up and discuss that story on the air, I wish you would. The telephone number here is 212-209-2877. Again, the name of that short story, The Day After the Day the Martians Came, by Frederick Pohl. If you want to look him up, his spelling may not be what you expect. Frederick is without a C. It's F-R-E-D-E-R-I-K. And Pohl was P-O-H-L. He was a good friend to WBAI. And given the longevity of his writing, that story from 1967, originally published in Dangerous Visions, edited by Harlan Ellison, was remarkable. It may not seem quite as remarkable today. I'm not sure just how it has aged in so many ways, because, of course, I was... No, hey Lester, I knew the story very well to begin with. It was not new to me, and it has interesting reverberations over the years. But especially to those of you who are hearing it for the first time, I would love to hear your reactions. And to do that, you call us on the air, 212-209-2877. If you liked the story, fine. If you disliked it, fine. It is, after all, 52 years old. And I think that it has sadly aged very well. That is to say, the issues that Fred Pohl brought up in there are still there today. I trust that many of you listening were able to catch the satirical sarcasm that was in the story. So I'd love to hear from you. 212-209-2877. And by the way, if you find this kind of radio, all of WBAI, but also a program like Hour of the Wolf, worth your time, perhaps it's also worth your money for the entire radio station. And you can call 516-620-3602 to make a pledge. The kind of pledge that we are specifically seeking are the WBAI buddies, which means that you are billed monthly for a flat amount. It could be $10, $25, be it what it may. The important thing is we have just gone through another one of our severe crises, and I have little doubt that we have lost a huge portion of our listenership since we were taken off the air by some rapscallions on October 7th, and we're back on for about 2 weeks now. This is my third show, and the first one was a welcome back. So it's 2 weeks and a day now, 15 days that we're back on the air. And while there were so many articles about our being taken off the air, I haven't seen a whole lot except, you know, one in the Brooklyn Eagle, which for some reason decided that it would be cool to show my bald spot as the feature of the article. I'm not joking. Go to the Brooklyn Eagle and look it up. they were very good articles, so very fine writer who was covering us for the Eagle. So the point is, there haven't been a lot of articles saying, hey, WBAI is back. And intermittently, our internet stream goes away. Occasionally, our signal to the transmitter goes away. I note that there are any number of staff members or wannabe staff members on certain listservs that have no clue as to what has been going on. I have been following things very closely as the admin of WBAI Radio on Facebook, which, by the way, if you'd like to join, please do so. You can also join the group on Hour of the Wolf on Facebook. So again, 212-209-2877. I am not sure that the phones are lighting up when people are calling. So actually, let me try it with my own phone. This is always a good test, right? Is to actually go make a phone call and see if the call that I am making lights up. 212-209-2877. Okay, calling. And rings. No, it is actually showing up. So maybe we are getting the calls. Maybe it just means that you're not calling. Give us a ring. This is for conversation. This is for discourse. And I would really like to hear from you. Let me give that one a try. Good morning. You're on the radio. Hello.
I just want to say I had never heard that story before, and I'm not kidding.
Now that's an award-winning, that was nominated for every award you can issue an award for in science fiction.
Well, there's much of Fred Pohl I read, and there is much of Fred Pohl that I did not, and I have never heard that, and I can truly understand why that would rub a raw nerve.
That was its intent. Yes,
I know people that if I gave that story to, they would never read it.
And I will
say one other thing, and then I'll go because I'm sure there you have other people.
I wish, but
every
ahead.
Joke in that story. By the way, I'm very curious as to whether part of the irony was the name Mr. Mandela.
You know, that didn't occur to me, but I'll bet you are right.
Wow.
Although, if that were the case, then you would expect him to be a little more, I think today we would say, woke.
Oh, wow.
But he's as dim as they come.
Yes, but how many people in the 1960s knew about Nelson Mandela and the...
No. It wouldn't be... have anything to do with Nelson Mandela. The idea of using the name Mandela would invoke an Indian person.
Oh, okay, then I had the wrong impression, I thought
yes.
to myself.
No, okay. No, it's also Mandala. It's not spelled...
Oh, Mandala.
It's not Mandela.
Oh, you're right.
So it's a name of, very possibly, of Indian derivation, and therefore might, still strike
yes.
a nerve.
Yes, but the other thing I want to say is every single joke in that story, I can point to my folklore collection from around the world, and I've heard them twice over, and they're still telling them about Newfies up north,
mm-hmm.
and about Arkies, and you know the rest.
Yeah, exactly, which is why I say it's horrifying that this story, this 52-year-old story, is not out of date, is it?
No, it is not. I have one question to ask you because you've been to see this, and I wish you to answer a question. Were you impressed by Fiddler in Yiddish?
Yes.
I'm going to see it on December 7th matinee.
Okay. Do you understand Yiddish?
Some, yes.
Okay, because I know that you have some visual issues.
Yes.
And I would not have gotten a lot out of the show if I were not able to read. There are subtitles in English and Russian.
Does Barbara know Yiddish?
Yes.
Ah.
But she only knows it to a limited extent. But,
well,
you know, this is the whole place, not just the musical. And, you know, it's Shalom Aleichem. It has drama, it has comedy, it has a story. And frankly, if you don't speak the language, you know, it's nice to hear the music, but you know what? You can buy the album.
Oh, no, yeah, I know, but I wanted the experience. And my friend who's going with me is taking a notepad to make notes. And you'll
discuss it.
Yes.
And all, are you familiar with the play from...
Yes.
Okay, well,
yes,
if you're familiar with the play from previous productions, you may very well get a lot out of this. I will say this. For
yes.
an off-Broadway show, there was nothing that I saw in there that you would not see on a Broadway stage. The staging is brilliant. The choreography is Jerome Robbins.
Yes.
You know, complete with the bottle dance and... everything. Joel Grey directed the show, and he did a masterful job. And
by the way, how are
it's closing in January, so I do urge
I
people. And by the way, if a person is a member of TDF, I got to tell you, I got great seats with 1 week's notice for under $30. Okay?
Well, then you don't want to know what I paid, but that's neither here nor there. How are the acoustics? We have orchestra.
It's a small theater.
Okay.
The difference between the orchestra and the mezzanine is about 15 feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is off-Broadway. This is not a Broadway stage. Everything.
Yeah, well, it is on West 42nd, though, isn't it?
Very West 42nd.
Yeah,
between 9th and 10th. That makes
it...
Okay, the Broadway district ends on 8th.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, to be a Broadway...
I thought all of 42nd
between,
was Broadway.
To be a Broadway show, you have to be between... according to Equity, you have to be between, I think it's 38th and 56th Street. Now, the avenues, I... get confused on. It might be 9th, but it's basically between 6th and 9th.
And well.
So if it were a larger theater, Broadway grade, it still wouldn't be a Broadway show. It would be what they call a Class A production, which means...
Well, I'm looking forward to it very much. I will let you know how it was and my experience. And again, thank you for the story, and thank you also for Wintersmith.
Okay.
I love that piece.
Yeah, so
bye.
Take care. Good morning. All righty, Lister is here. The other room, did you hear all the issues Max and I were having?
Yeah, it was very entertaining.
Yeah, I hope it was entertaining.
It was.
But you can understand why we decided it was a good idea. Not just that I was having troubles in here, but how are you or Michael and the people for the rest of the day?
I was laughing.
It looks okay. I have to say that, you know, for example, you can see that I'm approaching the mic from the side now.
Right.
And yet I am perfectly on mic.
Yes.
In that room, I would not be. In that room, it would be, you know, I'm now covering, you know, the mic with my hand. It would sound like that. Mm-hmm. You have to be talking directly into the mic
like that. It's not unidirectional. It's just like...
No, it is unidirectional is the problem. It's not
omnidirectional,
nor is it what these mics are, cardioid.
Ooh.
Cardioid is my favorite. You know, cardioid, the name implies a heart.
Yeah.
So it would mean that it goes like from behind the microphone, and then imagine a heart coming out. So even if you go to the side, which I am doing right now, and now the other side, it's more or less consistent. With that mic, it's like you have to be talking directly into it and looking at nothing else.
Oh, no. So that means you can't be sexy in the new studio, but you can be sexy in the old studio.
Well, I mean, there are things you can do. Also, every one of those microphones at least have really good windscreens.
Oh, that's good.
And the sound in that room is generally better.
Oh.
But I don't think it's been fully thought out.
Well, you convinced me that you're broadcasting from the brand new studio. So when I walked in here... I was surprised to see it because I was sneaking into...
Oh, you didn't hear the transition, Max and I did.
I heard the Dubwise thing going back and forth when you said you couldn't hear yourself, but I could hear you.
Ah. Oh, yeah, but we were still in there at that point, and I could hear us. Max couldn't.
The theme song was low.
Ah, yeah, you wrote that. That's because he was running it from here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And... Yeah, may not have been turned up all the way.
Okay.
Max is one of our best engineers, so. Who the heck knows?
Only the shadow knows.
Yeah. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts and minds of broadcast consoles?
Max knows.
Max knows? Because Max plays Lamont Cranston often enough. I hope some of you out there get those references. I'm surprised I didn't get more phone calls about that short story. We have a few minutes left. We have 4 minutes left if anybody wants to dial 212-209-2877. And also, if you wish to pledge, 516-620-3602. Oh, Lister, do me a favor. If you see Max, if you could go see Max, I accidentally logged out the WBAI account, and the password, posted right on the monitor, of course, isn't working.
That means the fun drive is over, right?
If only. So if you could ask him to log in again. In the meantime, before I leave, I have to go into that other room and figure out how to log myself out. And that is not an easy thing because, well, it's a long story. I won't trouble people with it.
A big magnet.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it. Indeed. I have been, according to a preliminary schedule, I am preempted next week. But if I am not preempted, I have written a letter saying, I have a guest scheduled for next week. Please put me on. I am hoping that that guest will be here. His name is Robert Levy. He is a fine writer and has never been on Hour of the Wolf. He has read for the New York Review for Science Fiction Readings of Science Fiction Readings. But he has a new novella out, and we want you to hear him read it and talk about it. So hopefully I will be on the air next week, and hopefully you will pledge and thereby give the station a reason to make sure that I'm on the air next week, pledging by going to WBAI.org or dialing 516-620-3602. And one more time, let me mention the event coming up next Tuesday. That is December 3rd. Randy Dawn presents readers from her new anthology entitled Across the Universe, Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Speculative Fiction Stories, all deriving from the Beatles. So, this is just going to be fun, people. Really fun. Admission is free. We do ask for donations, but and those donations are for the reading series. Admission is free. So we hope to see you. 388 Atlantic Avenue between Hoyt and Bond Street in the Brooklyn Commons Cafe. And yes, it will be video cast in some manner or other. I am working with a new tech director named Tunde, and he is absolutely wonderful. But there are growing pains. The growing pain with the last one is I haven't been able to download it or do any post-production on it. So, well, things will get better, no doubt. At any rate, this has been Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Burn Baby Burn with Lister coming your way in but moments from now. And people, be good to each other. Well, you know the stuff I say during outro. It hasn't changed. Be good. That is the bottom line. Respect people. And enjoy yourselves. Have a great morning. Take care.
the bowl, lose control, so they force obedience. Have you pledge allegiance to a piece of cloth? That's off the way I see it. Well, I'm going off berserk, cause the system work to jerk. My people, the people, all around the pigs work. Tell me I'm wrong, though, that's my right in this writing. The Constitution, yo, that's an illusion. Huh, suckers trying to change and rearrange. They say that I'm free, but they sure have a strange way of showing it. But I'm blowing the cover, the red, white, the blue, but the black for the brother. And I'm the lover of this flag, like many others take the same turn like me. They yearn for the flag too. And drag it and rip it to shreds, cause I'm too black, too strong, too red, too dread. And I'm dreaded cause I make the pigs tremble when I burn a symbol. Yo, I'm quick and nimble like Jack, but I'm a black man attacking the flag. I keep my torch handy, I'm no Yankee Doodle Dandy, so just hand me a flag from the fastest and watch me burn that piece up to ashes. Cause the real meaning is what the masses must learn. That's why the red, white, and blue must burn, baby, burn.
Korea, Beirut, and forget Haiti. Haiti, Iran, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Mexico. Talking about Uptown, Harlem, New York City, y'all. And Nicaragua, East and South Central LA, California, IA, Miami. Do or die, Bed-Stuy, never ran, never will, Brownsville. Boogie down, South Bronx, yeah.
My man Joey to jail, and now they got him in court because he burned the flag. That's the name of the game. Well, I quit playing. I doubt the suckers want you to hear what I'm saying about this nation. Freedom supposed to be the format, but I step on your flag like it's a floor mat. Maim and mangle, the star spangle. I'm not trying to diss you. I use the flag like toilet tissue to wipe my black ass. What? You think that I'm a jackass? I see a flag and I attack fast with some fire. My desire to burn what Betty Ross sold up. The truth I show up about America, America, home. Free. Boom. This is the home of the slave. Now hold on just a mother. You gave me freedom of speech in the First Amendment. So why wanna scold me when I touch the flag? I'm only doing what you told me. You don't like it, so what? I'm not scared of you.
F you, F you.
Black America too. See, I made up this new rule and I want y'all to learn it.
99 single listed live right here. Burn, baby, burn. Carl Anthony, Carl Anthony, thanks very much. Busy switching studios back and forth, so we won't be able to handle you this week, but we'll do it in due time. Burn, baby, burn. Damn. We had Carl Anthony on the radio last week, and it was like so. I'm still starstruck. I'm still starstruck. Amazing. Amazing, Carl Anthony. 99 Sinker, list alive right here. We're back to the fundraising thing right here. You know the number. You know the number. Give to WBAI.org. The website. You hit it. Hit it.
You matter. Me matter. The whole of we matter. You matter. Me matter. The whole of we matter. You matter. Me matter. The world and we matter, you matter, me matter. A world of reasoning with a wise old man, just the other day. And I found some simple truth in what he had to say. Yeah. Things will never change if we keep operating the same way. Humanity is waiting, no time to delay. It's happening. Things I could not find in books. Beauty not defined by looks. Government shouldn't be run by crooks. But I'd like me see a one. Even though them call the name of God, them intention of loot and rap. But like how the community, that me see a one. You matter, me matter. The world and we matter. You matter, me matter. God, sisters and brothers, you matter, me matter.
The world of me matter.
You matter, me matter. Get it together. The wheels of justice running flat. Inflation on the rise. When government turn opposition, that's the only time they criticize. Another thing, lest we forget. Too many being raised by the internet. Connected, but not connected to the lessons of the past where the guidance led. You matter, me matter. The whole of we matter. You matter, me matter. The whole of we matter. You matter, me matter. The whole of we matter. You matter, me matter. Well, I reasoned with a wise old man just the other day. And I found some simple truth in what he had to say. Yeah. Things will
them a church if we keep operating the same way. Humanity's waiting, no time to delay.